I've been in stomach pain every day for the last, I don't know, 6 weeks, and it's not getting better.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's bad, but what's the alternative? I go to a doctor?
Well, I know you have been to a doctor.
Briefly. They want to do, what's it called when they check to see if you have a baby inside of you?
An ultrasound.
Yes. They said that might be a thing to see if I have, what's it called? God, I can't think of words today. When, not inflated, a swollen appendix.
Bloated?
A swollen appendix. Something could be going on with my stomach itself, or like the little thingies, the colons that are attached to my stomach. I don't know. They just want to look inside. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of day's works, and
that's not good.
No. Or like I bend over to pick something up and I just can't. I don't know. It's a mess.
I feel bad for you.
You know, I could just go to a doctor.
Should you go vegan?
Would I go vegan?
Should you?
I should go gluten-free, alcohol-free, and coffee-free. And I'm pretty good at the gluten-free, but I'm never going to give up coffee and I'm never going to give up alcohol. I would rather, I think you would agree, I'd rather just have stomach pain than give up coffee.
Why don't you drink decaf coffee?
No. What? Why don't you go fly on Spirit Airlines?
I would if, and I have.
Well, yeah, like you're like, well, if Southwest and United were all just crashing every day, maybe I would fly Spirit.
I have.
That's basically
Spirit.
What's happening to me.
Spirit is good to fly if you're going somewhere that's not more than a 2 or 3 hours and for not very long.
If you don't need to bring anything, if you can just get on the plane, what's the bad? Allen Iverson used to not bring clothes to road trips. He would just buy it all when he got there. So
yeah,
if you
that's what we all do, right?
Actually, David Williams had a Twitter thread talking about how he used to be a baller. And he was like, yeah, we would just go out to XS, meet a random girl, immediately just book a private plane. And she'd be like, I have to go pack. And he'd be like, no, we'll just get stuff when we get there. And he's like, David Williams just used to live that life. And now he's like a single dad homeschooling his kid. And he's like, I can't believe how different my life is now.
That's pretty outrageous baller.
Yeah, I didn't realize like he is in the upper echelon when they talk about like baller stories. I didn't realize that he played like high stakes cash, which I just thought he was a tournament player, but
he did. He definitely played some high stakes poker, like on the show.
Yeah. The thread is from a long time ago, but people were like, yeah, David Williams used to fucking ball out, like big time ball out.
That's like what sucks about that for him is there was probably such a high expectation for him to live this lifestyle and to like play in these huge games. Cause he got second to Raymer. Is that right?
Was it Raymer? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he got second to Raymer. And I'm not going to know what year. 2006?
It was year after Moneymaker, 2006.
2005.
Moneymaker was 03, 04. We should know this, right? This is poker history. We should know.
I'm going to say 2004.
I think you're right. I mean, Moneymaker was 03, so, and Raymer was the next year. So it would make sense that it was 04. Yeah, 04. Who else can you name at that final table?
Nobody.
Yes, you can.
I don't think so.
Let me see. Well, 10th was Marcel Lusk. Rest in peace.
He's not dead.
Now, I said that last week that he was dead, and it was Devilfish. I got them confused.
Oh, yeah.
9th, I don't remember. Mike McLean, don't remember.
I know Mike McLean.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was that guy. For a while, he was on the WSO, like their preview, like when they were previewing the next episode or like introing it. He was like, I don't know if he was crying or he had this like crazy, like disgruntled look with like his hands over his head. Maybe he took a bad beat, but that he was always on the intro.
I'm looking at it. I don't remember that, but I'll look it up after the show. 8th, Matthias Anderson.
I remember that guy. Yeah, now I remember everybody. I couldn't have named a single person.
From Sweden. 7th, Matt Dean.
No.
I'm going to take a look at what he looks like, because funny enough, like when I see these names, remember when Full Tilt and PokerStars just gave every single person a deal? Yeah. I don't remember Matt Dean.
Matthias, whatever, was like a super vocal guy. He was like, he got super pumped up when he won big pots.
Those were the old days when you were supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Six.
It's more fun to watch.
Although, six Alcrux.
Wow, legend. Triple check raise legend.
Is that a memorable hand that I should go and look at?
No. He was like the I just remember when I was first starting to play, started to play poker and started to play more live. Al Crux would, you know, was known as like the tightest player ever, but he was also known, his like thing was the triple check raise.
That's
he
awesome.
Was like, his claim to fame was that he was like the only one to successfully triple check raise before, or check raise in all three streets.
That is, yeah, I would say maybe that's the coolest thing you can do in poker.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Glenn Hughes, fifth?
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't ring a bell. Glenn the Big Cat Hughes. His last cash was 2007.
Damn.
Fourth. Come on, Jake. Fourth.
Man.
This is fourth or first, you know all of them.
That's not helping. I'm not even gonna be able to guess.
Fourth, Dan Harrington.
Oh, wow.
Out of nowhere, just back-to-back final tables once poker got exciting again. Third, this guy is still playing the highest games. He's kind of had like a resurgence recently. He owns, I believe, a training site. He just finished runner-up in the 50K Players Championship.
Owns a training site?
Been around forever. Josh Arie.
He doesn't own a training site.
Yeah, he does.
He does?
Yeah.
For poker?
Yes. He Jesus owns Christ. It. I don't know if he does training. He owns. Let me look it up. He owns. He also DM'd me a couple years ago when the Super Bowl was in Atlanta, because he's from Atlanta. He wanted tickets to Rough and Rowdy. And I was like, I can't help you with that.
Damn.
So at Golfer Josh on Twitter. I swear to God, he owns one. It's not in his bio. That's
not good. That's
not good for me.
No.
I swear I'm not making this up.
I believe you that you think that you're not making this up.
Well, maybe he sold his stake.
Maybe. His $1 billion stake in some random poker training site.
Damn it. And runner-up was David Williams, and first place, Greg Fosselman Raymer. He of the most awkward conversation I've ever had.
Yeah, we gave you a quick Raz lesson, right?
Yeah. I think it was Raz. I was like, hey, like, how's your series going? And then he got into like how to optimally play Fifth Street and Badoogie. I was like, all right. It was really one of those conversations that you can't leave, but it was so awkward for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Sometimes I get caught in conversations like that where not only am I not paying attention, but it seems kind of like a twilight zone where I can't even believe that it's a real conversation that's being had.
It was quite strange. And the whole reason I wanted to talk to him was because I think I've said this on the podcast before, like Big Cat always talks about Greg Raymer in the fossil glasses, and I wanted to get a picture with him to send to Big Cat, and then I didn't even ask for a picture because the conversation was just so just bad. I don't even know what to call it. It was just like we were standing and he was just talking to me about like Omaha high low eight or better strategy, and I was like, all right, man, gotta go. And then he told me to go to his website and send him an email.
Which I'm sure you did right away.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Who's the like nicest, overwhelmingly nicest poker player that you've met?
As far as like main event winners or like famous?
No, just like I always talk about the guys in OAR, the band. Like they've been touring for 20 years. Like they've done it all. They've sold out Madison Square Garden. and they're so unreasonably kind and nice that it's like kind of annoying. It's like, why are you guys so nice? Is there anybody like I don't know, Negreanu has come on the show twice.
Christian Harder comes to mind.
Most poker players, I think, are nice. That's the thing. Like, or at least they're just like generous with their time and stuff because, you know, we're poker players. It's not like we're A-Rod. So like Negreanu's come on the show twice. I would say Chris Moneymaker has gone above and beyond what he has to do, you know, to everybody. Like Christian, yes.
That's just like as a player seeing, you know, and being friends with him over the years. I, you know, it's easy. Not that Moneymaker's not that way, but I really just, you know, I wouldn't know other than the couple of conversations that we had with him.
No, of course, that's what I'm basing most of it off of. And then Negreanu's just always been like, hey, come hang out in the trailer. Like,
whatever. Yeah, I mean, we like Negreanu, but I think he's
the online things versus like just how he's like treated us in real life. I can separate. Like, I get.
I'm not even saying that. Yeah, I'm not even thinking about you know, the tirade he went on. I'm just like, I just genuinely don't know.
No, I know. Dude, I feel like everybody, now that I'm thinking about it, like everybody has been really nice. Everybody's always like inviting, like, you know, I can't remember a time. I mean, Helmuth I've gone back and forth on. He's been very nice and he's also been rude. But I mean, he's just like the biggest name. Like, I'm only pointing out like the big names, obviously. Moneymaker, Negreanu, Helmuth.
Yeah.
Phil Ivey did not DM me back. Sad. Yeah. I'll DM him again in like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure he gets on Twitter about once every 6 months.
Yeah. He probably hasn't even seen it yet.
Well, here, I bet like his like people tell him like, you should do more social media. You should do more Instagram stories and tweets. So he'll do it for 2 days and then. He's like, what? I'm playing like 1,000, 2,000 cash games. What do I have to be on social media for?
He does not need much of a social media presence. Like whenever he decides to post it's going to get attention.
Yeah. But he did it for like 3 days, 2 months ago, and then he disappeared again.
Yeah, he's posting videos of like his niece's birthday party.
Yeah.
Like, Phil, blink twice if you're being held hostage.
I'm sure he sat in a meeting where they told him, like, you know, they went over, like, analytics. Like, look, people would like you more if you were.
They.
He probably, like, some probably agency got to him or something.
You think?
Maybe. It's always possible that they're like, if you build your brand, you can make X more dollars. And then he did it for 2 days. And he's like, fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's stopped after. It stopped very quickly.
Very quickly. And then, well, he will tweet every once in a while about like a boxing match or something.
Yeah. We got the newest Phil Galfond challenge that started today. And it's actually on WSOP.com.
Is this a poker challenge or him trying to compile all the hands to prove Postol is a cheater?
Well, that's a good... good thing to bring up too. This is just his challenge, his heads up challenge with Chance Cornuth.
Oh, so they're playing on a United States site?
I think they're both in Vegas.
Interesting.
So that's, you know, their options were basically WSOP or ACR.
Well, no, it's interesting because Galfond obviously owns a site, so he was doing the challenge to bring traffic to his own site. So it's
You know what? It's funny. I was thinking about that when it started, and I saw that it was running. I'm like, hold on a sec. This is just two guys. These are just two guys playing heads up. This is great. It's a
You know when I said Josh Arie owns a training site, I was thinking of Chance.
Oh, that's really weird.
They're the same exact person, just like old school, kind of still around though.
Josh Arie probably has 12 years on Chance.
What, an age?
Yeah.
Really? All right. Wait.
I'm 31. I don't know. Chance could be one of those guys that's a lot older than he looks because he looks pretty young.
I'm gonna fact check. Josh Arie is 45. So you're saying...
Okay, so it's less than 12 years, because I would have guessed Chance is like 36.
How do you spell corn? Chance is 34.
And how old is Arya?
45.
Okay, yeah, that seems right.
But Chance has already had his birthday, and Josh's is in 4 days, so you're correct.
Oh, sick. Wow, how sharp am I?
Yeah, that was fantastic. Good job.
yeah, so they're playing, I think they're playing a shit ton of hands. They're playing like 35,000 hands of 100, 200.
All no limit?
No, PLO.
Oh, all PLO.
Yeah. Phil doesn't play no limit.
Oh.
I mean, he will every once in a while, but not as part of the challenge.
If I win the lottery, I'll challenge him to no limit.
It's you want to know something that I was also thinking about that annoys me is WSOP doesn't listen to jack shit about what people want.
Mm-hmm.
And like the complaints that they have about their tournaments, their software, their interface, everything. And all of a sudden now there's two heads up PLO tables. There's no heads up tables on WSOP, but now all of a sudden they've created two heads up PLO tables for the challenge. Like,
yeah,
really? This is where you like help.
And
two players out,
and they're probably paying their rake.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know the rake situation. I'm actually going to guess that they're collecting rake, and that's why they chose WSOP. Maybe not. I don't know.
I would. Phil Galfond. I mean, he's the most peaceful guy. He has a lot of pool, though. If he says like, "Hey, we're going to come play on your site. We're not going to pay rake, though." I would assume they're like, all right.
Yeah, maybe. I really don't know. But yeah, that kind of like irked me that like, all right.
Yeah.
There's no heads up. There's no heads up tables. There's never been any heads up tables. And now
like, generally the worst software, everything sucks on it. And yeah, they cater to the top. Welcome to America, bro.
Yes. As far as the, you know, we touched on this last week with this idiot's response, Justin Caratus.
What's his name?
Justin Caratus, I think.
Okay, real quick. He is the tournament director guy from the Mike Postle case who everybody is almost positive helped him cheat.
But don't even say that. It doesn't even matter anymore.
Sure, like, yes. He just has his back.
Yeah, he's right. He's denied any involvement in potential cheating that may have happened while also claiming that there was no cheating. And you know, people that listened to last week's episode already know, but he went on this like tirade.
He listened to last week's episode, by the way, which means he's listening to this one as well. He's a fan.
Oh, great. Yeah. So, you know, he's gone on this, claim of innocence tour and, you know, wants to go scorch earth on everyone that thought wronged him. But yeah, so that kind of like reignited the poker community's passion for not letting cheaters and scumbags walk free. Now, will anything happen because of this? Probably not. But wait, Phil
Can you help me with a question here?
Yeah.
That whole like scatter plot that showed how much, you know, Mike Postle's win rate was compared to everybody else and all the sessions that people said he won X amount, you know, he won $100,000 in this session. He won X amount in this session. And then the Justin guy is like, well, nobody's ever compiled the hands and done the math. And now Galfond's like, all right, we're going to do that. I thought they had already done that. Where am I?
Yeah. The first question that's raised is like, I'm glad that they're doing it, but it's like, why wasn't that done originally?
But I thought it was done. That's what I'm so confused about.
Yeah, I was a little confused with that too.
But everybody's like in agreement that it wasn't done, but I'm like, then what did they do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I can kind of answer that. They did kind of keep track of his chips on the table.
Yeah, they definitely did something. I mean, somebody created a pretty detailed sequence of events and like a spreadsheet when he really started to win and then basically never lose. But yeah, I don't think they really got into the detail. And not only that, but I saw Phil was talking with this guy Mason, who's I don't know if he's like a moderator in within 2+2.
Mason,
I think.
Monmouth.
Yeah. Maybe he's the owner. I don't even know.
He's the owner.
Okay. But yeah, he made a really good point about, you know, Phil's going to compiling all this data and information to show what his what Mike Posel's stats are like throughout all these sessions, his wins, win rates. But Mason brought up a good point, saying he needs to show not only that there was that he's an outlier, but needs to show how many standard deviations outside of, you know, the mean this guy really was.
As far as we know, if he did not cheat and he was just staring down at his phone and wearing the funky hat and, you know, check raising with eight high on king, queen, ace boards and all of that, it would be the equivalent of the old, you can put a monkey at a typewriter and eventually it'll like type a novel. It would be the exact equivalent. We're not idiots. That's what makes me so mad, is this guy Justin is tap dancing because the court technically ruled in their favor. But it's like, we get it, but we're also just like not idiots. It would be like you're watching a murder and you know what happened, but the lawyer said something stupid that had the case thrown out. It doesn't mean the guy still didn't kill the guy. It means technically the lawyer fucked up, so they had to throw the case out. So it's like,
yeah, right. I mean, it's I don't know how, even, you know, if this stuff is all compiled and put together and an even better story and narrative is created.
It'll be for the poker community's own happy, you know, pat ourselves on the back.
As far as I know, I don't see how that could lead to anything happening.
No, it won't. It certainly won't. It'll just be like a told you so. And, you know, people in poker like that.
Right. It's like fake closure.
But that's usually how all these cases go. Like, go back in time to the old, like, Z Justin stuff. I mean, Hastings broke the terms of service of a site he was a red pro on, Full Tilt, and he got his red pro status taken away for a week. Like, oh no, he can't type in chat. Like, what? It's always, poker is the most like nonchalant. I mean, yeah, fucking Howard Lederer and Chris Ferguson play at a table with people they stole money from and nothing happens. Russ Hamilton still plays live cash in Florida. Nothing happens.
Yeah, but these, you know, this is a legal issue. Okay.
No, not anymore, though. Now it's just like a Russ Hamilton.
It was.
This is very similar to Russ Hamilton, who had his banner taken down at World Series of Poker. Good. I think he's been out there. He's played events. He stands in line with people that he cheated out of money, and nothing happens. It is, it's almost shocking how little happens to the biggest scammers and cheaters. And even on a smaller scale, scammers and cheaters get called out all the time. This guy stole 50K from me. This guy pretended to be me on Skype and stole 20K from me. Nothing ever happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to hold somebody accountable with them in the gambling industry. It's like, you can steal and your reputation can be tarnished and taken away, but in the end, that's all that can really happen to you. And then the truth is you can steal money from somebody and nothing will happen. And maybe
if you're good
from poker for a while, and then you come back and there's nothing that they can do other than harass you about it.
I mean, if you're good or you have like a big name, like Eric Langren comes to mind. I believe he,
did he steal?
I believe he stole, and he was just backed by Negreanu right after that. And Negreanu's like, "Yeah, that's E-Dog, that's my boy." I mean, had we known we were going to talk about this, I would have looked up the specifics of what Eric Langren did. But like, that's a big name in poker who's gone back in, you know, 30 years, 20 whatever years, and people don't even remember that he stole or that he scammed or whatever he did. And he
I had no idea.
He was just right back into like the big tournaments because he was back.
Oh, you know who he stole from or scammed was Haralabob.
Was it? Yes. That was a whole big thing.
Yeah. I think he owed him a lot.
A ton. Like a shit. Or probably a ton.
Still does.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to look it up now. Now that you mentioned Haralabob, it's going to. You know what I don't like about Eric Lingren is he spells his name E-R-I-C-K.
Yeah, as an Eric, that must rub you the wrong way.
You don't need both. Poker Stars sued Lindgren for $2.5 million. He owes over $100K for fantasy drafts. This is just like when you type in his name. Harlebob goes off on Eric Lindgren. Is Eric Lindgren the biggest online poker loser ever? My goodness.
Yeah, we really turned over this rock here.
Fuck. Like, every single result. Well, I did type in Eric Lindgren scam, to be fair. He files for bankruptcy again. Jesus. Holy. So he owned 3% of Full Tilt. Must be nice. Do you remember the worst bad beat ever in turn when it comes to Full Tilt?
Remember the worst bad beat?
Mattisau was supposed to own a piece of Full Tilt, but he went to jail that day, and so he couldn't get in. And that's like a $50 million swing.
Sorry, Mike.
Sorry, Mike Mattisau. But yeah, no, I forgot all about that. Eric Lindgren. I wonder what he's doing now.
You know what? You know what he's probably doing? He's probably playing poker.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But I don't know. I'm not defending him in any way, but you know, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but it's like, you know, fortunately I've never been in this situation where I'm like, my back is up against the wall like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand how people relate or how people do what they do when they have no other way and are, you know, completely desperate. It obviously doesn't make it right. And I still want to think that I would never do that, anything like that, but I get where the headspace comes from.
Especially so he was making $250,000 a month from Full Tilt. So you get so used to this high stakes lifestyle, that money stopped coming in. He owed Max Weinberg $11,000. So that post on 2+2 started a flurry of activity in the thread with various people calling out Lindgren for not making good on debts. The largest claim came from Harlebob, who said Lindgren owned money for years. Lindgren owed Full Tilt $2.5 million after shutdown. That's why he got sued by Poker Stars, because when Poker Stars took on Full Tilt, they sued him for that $2.5 million. Fuck's sake. He filed bankruptcy with estimated debts worth more than over $10 million.
Oof.
The rise and fall, man. Shit like that should be a movie.
Yeah, it really should. That kind of goes back to what I'm saying about, or what I was saying about David Williams. Like, you know, these guys that are making that much money and they live in Vegas and there's flashy things everywhere and, you know, money doesn't seem like the fountain's ever going to run dry. And
well, here's a question for you. When you were cleaning up on Full Tilt and Poker Stars, did you ever think the fountain was going to run dry? It's hard to have that foresight.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I was like a 19-year-old kid in State College, Pennsylvania. Like, my expenses were pretty low as far as just like cost of living. Actually, they're extremely low. And yeah, I mean, I really went on a lot of swings, as I've said before. Like,
but when you would talk to friends or family or yourself or fellow poker players about, you know, what you guys were doing, there was no foresight to like one day Black Friday is going to happen. Would you look at each other and be like, I can't believe this, we get to do this and we make so much money and it's just going to always be like this? Or did you ever be like, do you think this is going to just stop one day? Cause I don't think anybody considered that.
No, you didn't really think, I didn't really think of it like that. It was more like, this is what we do. And yeah, you didn't think it was going to end. Like I'm just like naturally conservative.
Frugal.
Not even frugal, just like.
You're frugal. You
know, I remember, what?
You're frugal for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
I'm not saying in a bad way, but you are.
I live a comfortable life, but yeah, I don't go out like, you know, blasting off on you know, Gucci belts.
And we lived in a 80 square foot apartment together with one bathroom.
Yeah, I know. I think it's fucking tiny. but yeah, so
making like $10K a night and you'd have to wait for me to finish pooping.
Yeah, before I could shower. Yeah.
You just made my year salary, man. I'm just like, 1 minute.
That's funny. We're like getting bit by mysterious bugs, mosquitoes throughout the night.
Yeah.
So no, I can't relate to the private jet and club life in Vegas that some of these guys.
You ever fly private with a group of people?
No.
Never.
No.
I just feel like back in when you won like an F-tops and
I won an F-tops and I took a Greyhound back to Penn State.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I would have one time, like, back in those days when you were just making so much money, I'm like, hey, why don't we, like, split a private jet to Europe? Like, you know, you're going over for EPT or whatever. Like, just to do it. You're 18 years old. You're 19, whatever.
The thought never even crossed my mind. It's not like I had, like...
Who were the high-flying, jet-flying, wheeling and dealing guys?
Who were they?
Oh, I guess it was, like, the cash guys, though. It was the Raptors and... it was the Dwans.
Probably. Those guys were making millions and millions of dollars. I was not making that much.
You were in the top echelon of tournament players, though.
Yeah, sure, but like
you and Lucky Chewy.
I started with. It's not like I had to build up a bankroll. Like I didn't start with anything. I had to build it up, and I, you know, I did well, and yes, and then I lost, you know, $400,000+ staking people. So like.
That could have been a private flight.
Yeah, if only I could just dump that into a flight to Europe.
If you got into the cash games earlier, would you have been good enough to make – or did I assume you just liked playing tournaments. Did you ever consider switching over to cash back then?
I started to dabble in cash – after I was doing really well in tournaments, I was not good. I was, you know, probably the fifth best player at most 6 max tables.
Yeah. So you would have like blown your load at 5-10 or whatever.
Yeah. Like I was literally back in
2008.
Like, no, maybe I wasn't the fifth. Maybe I was like, I don't know, third or fourth.
You were the spot.
And some of them, honestly, I had no game selection. Like, I would just like 9 or 10 table, like 5-10 and 10-20, because I like the action.
Yeah, that's like the most degen thing that you've ever done.
Yeah, I think I did fine in them, but I objectively was. It's not a strong cash game player back then.
You had a could lot have joined the ship at Halabala's.
No, yeah, I would not have climbed the ranks up to rail. No. That's what you're getting at.
Yeah, I think you could have.
I would have needed some sort of like mentor, someone to take me under their wing.
It's not too late.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is too late considering those games don't really run anymore.
No, we're gonna move you to Europe.
They run on GG Poker.
And Triton.
Yeah, that's very true.
People want you in those games. Do it for the podcast.
Yeah, those guys are playing multi-million dollar pots while I'm here in Hoboken, New Jersey, waiting for the front panel of my dishwasher to get delivered.
You're never going to be fully moved into this house.
No, apparently you can order a dishwasher that doesn't come with a power cord or a front panel. I didn't even know that was possible.
This is episode 78 of the podcast, by the way, called Cracking Aces. I'm Nate. That is Jacob Toole, the proud 34th place finisher in the 2015 WSOP main event. He got slow rolled to finish 34th by Max Steinberg.
Knit rolled.
Was it by Max Steinberg? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Nice. Knit rolled. Not he had aces. You had king 10 on a king high board.
I wish he had aces.
No, you had didn't you have king 10 on a king high board and he had aces?
No, I had king 10 on a 10, 4 deuce, 2 spade board.
And he had kings.
He had kings, yeah.
You know what? I'm getting better at remembering hand histories. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I did tell the listener and you and myself that I would play poker last week. I had that $4 in my account. I would like you to know I busted the $4.10 in my account.
What'd you play?
I played a $3 PLO 6-max tournament.
You played a tournament?
Yes. I played a 6-max PLO tournament. I had a lot of fun playing it.
Great. My guess is you were playing really tight.
Yes, great guess.
Conservative.
No, it was fun. I liked it. I would like to play more PLO 6-max tournaments.
I started playing some more PLO again.
Cash?
Yeah.
How's your month going?
It's going great.
Yeah? Are we rich?
I mean, it's, yeah, I've had one. I'll try to play like 2 sessions throughout the day. So like typically I've been playing like 9 a.m. to like noon or so, maybe a little after. Okay.
Little breakfast sesh.
Yeah, and then I'll try to play another one later in the afternoon. It's been kind of hard in the afternoon because I've just so much stuff has come up, but I since we moved and I started playing again, I've had one losing session.
Golly.
Yeah.
What are you gonna buy me?
Nothing. You're not helping with the landscaping. Maybe if you helped out, you'd get a little reward.
Like 5K?
No.
Today I took the biggest hit in the market that I've ever taken.
Yeah, it's been getting hammered.
Terrible. And I keep putting more money into Apple. This is the first time Apple's ever gone down, and all I'm going to do is keep buying Apple because all Apple does is go up. I swear to you, the listener, all Apple does is go up, and it's down like 25% in September, and I cannot stop buying more Apple. It's all I'm going to do.
Yeah, I should really get into some of these stocks that I had previously missed the boat on.
Honestly, when's the next time your Apple's going to be down so much in 1 month? This is the opportune time to get in.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe. Chef, I had a chance to cash out on Chef again, up like 20%, and I didn't do it. And now Chef it went down 15% 2 days ago and another 5% today. So I'm back down on Chef. Chef is the never-ending storyline.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just been swing trading it the whole time.
I know, but I'm not that good.
Yeah, that's tough.
DraftKings down a little. Everything's down right now, but yeah. Apple. I'm going to retire with how much Apple I'm buying this month. All it does is go up. So it's down 20% this month, 25% this month. Just keep buying it. Let's see. Some questions from Instagram. Question from Jared. How long should a live cash session B. I have trouble forcing myself to get up and sometimes it costs me. Welcome to the club, brother.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all by feel.
Obviously I'm not as experienced in that arena, but it goes the same with playing online. It's you play until you feel like you're not thinking well enough or you're not in the right headspace.
Yep.
And then it's time to get up because almost definitely not going to play well.
Yeah, don't ever think like, but what if I miss a hand? But what if my next hand is aces? When you feel ready to go, that's usually the sign that you should go. You know, you rack up, you go one more hand. Don't play that hand stupid because it's your last hand. That'll cost you every time. Just set a timer. I'm playing 6 hours. I'm going to go eat dinner after 6 hours. Just make it, you can think of it as a job, like clock in, clock out, and you can't worry about what comes after that because – as it turns out, Jared, it looks like you're costing yourself a lot of money by not doing that. So just
yeah, and there's always exceptions to that. If
a drunk guy is blasting off 10K per hand, you might want to sit.
Sure. Or if you, you know, say you're going to play 6 hours, but at the end of that 6 hours, you really just feel like you're in the zone, then yeah, keep going. But you know, you need to have the discipline to stop when you feel it, you're not at your best. Sometimes you're game. Really tired.
Good word, discipline.
Yeah, discipline is huge.
Next question, Hunter. If you are an out-of-state degen trying to see hands cheap, global poker or ACR for micro to low stakes cash games, either one. Just be safe. Don't put on too much more money than you can lose. Yep. What's the future of life? This is from Vinny. What's the future of live poker in Atlantic City? There is still no poker, and it looks like no sign of it anytime soon. I'd love to hear your opinions. Honestly, I didn't realize that all of Atlantic City is still shut.
Yeah. I haven't thought about it in a little while. But yeah.
There has to be a valid reason that it's still shut. They're trying to keep everybody safe. I know Maryland Live is open, Plexiglass. A lot of places are open, 6 max, 7 max, whatever. Mm-hmm. My opinion on why it's still shut and when it's going to reopen, I just don't know the specifics. But
I mean, it's in New Jersey. Obviously, New Jersey has been pretty slow with reopening things.
Vegas is open.
Yeah, but even in New Jersey, like 25%, restaurants are at 25% capacity. I think gyms are back open at reduced capacity. Mm-hmm. That's surprising that
casinos aren't. Casinos
aren't at reduced
capacity. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And Vegas is very open. I mean, we're still, 1,000 people per day are still dying of it. We've kind of just moved on. Yeah, I don't know. Pat Moore wants to know, who is the best poker player at Barstool?
That's your answer, not me.
I was going to say you. Barstool,
yeah. No, my guess would be, well, it's only three people, really. Maybe four.
I'm going to say it's me.
It's either you, Hubs.
Hubs knows how to play.
Riggs or Smitty.
Riggs, no, I'm taking him out of the equation. I don't think he's seen a hand in years.
But I'm just saying, like, he used to play.
Smitty absolutely knows how to play ABC tournament poker. Smitty plays like an online pro from 2000, though. Like, I think you'd have to, like, sit down with him and, like, show him how the game has changed and shit. But he obviously has, like, an understanding of tournament poker. I don't know how he is at cash. I've never really discussed it with him. But, like, yeah, he can definitely hold his own, like, especially in very deep stack stuff. He gets it.
You're saying you. I think that's fair.
I think I would be the best heads-up player at Barstool for sure. I don't even think it would be close. Like, Dave would think that he is. He thinks that he can, like, mentally defeat people, but it would fuck him in the ass.
I think so.
I mean, I do think people who work at Barstool also have, like, a special type of mind where – like Kevin, I've seen play poker before and he was doing shit. I was like, wow, that's like without ever having like studied the game, like he had like a very good general feel and understanding of it.
Sure, yeah. And I'm sure there's some pretty pretty good like out of the box thinking and intuition for
like Adam Ferrone, if he studied the game for 2 weeks, he'd probably be fantastic. He just has a one of a kind brain. He completely understands situations. His dad's like an astrophysicist, like he's one of the smartest people that I know. He'd probably be very, very good if he wanted to be.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm trying to think if we have any just like pure math people at Barstool. I'm sure on the data side we do, or like, you know, the smart people side of the office, but content wise, I don't know if we have any math majors or anything. Not that I can think of.
Yeah.
So good question. See, this is from... Oh, this is a good question. From Hayden. I feel like I can't play more than one table well right now. I'm very new to online poker tournaments. Is this normal? Should I see a progression to being able to play more tables well?
That is a good question. My suggestion would be to keep playing one table and then maybe slowly introduce a second table, see how that feels. If it's too much, just go back to one. And it's really just about getting used to it. And, you know, once you bring in that second table, whenever that may be, it's, you just have to try to make the same, your similar decisions in half the time.
I compare it to when a college football player goes to the NFL and they say you have to wait for the game to slow down because the pro game is so much faster than the college game and you just have to adjust to the speed. Like eventually two tables just feels normal and then you can add a third. I got up to playing like 12 comfortably, 14 if I wanted to really stress myself out and probably make suboptimal decisions. But I was also playing like turbos, so it was like pretty much like it was solved in a way. So I could just be a robot about it. I think two you should be able to do side by side. Like three, I get it being like it can get tricky. Four, I understand it getting tricky, etc. But I think two is a good start point.
It might be like once you cross that threshold into two, that you know after who knows maybe a week or something, it'll be a lot easier to transition from two to three, and maybe even three to four.
Yeah, but I don't know. It gets a little bit of getting used to. This is from. Is he trolling? I'm laughing at his question. I don't know if he's trolling. From Karan, I believe that's how you say his name. Should I drop out of medical school to pursue poker full time? Made 70K playing part time in 10 months.
No.
I'm going to lean on the no side, but if your passion isn't med school, you should drop out because your passion isn't med school and you don't want to be a doctor. Now, right. If that means your passion is poker and you can, and that 70K playing part-time in 10 months is not variance, you're actually a very bright person and you can make six figures easy in a year playing poker, then maybe yes. If that's your absolute passion and you're going to work your dick off for it and it's going to be your full-time job that you're going to take seriously and you hate med school and you don't want to be a doctor. You know what I don't want operating on me? A guy who's thinking about flops the whole time that he's digging through my fucking esophagus or whatever. So So if you don't want to be a doctor, drop out because you don't want to be a doctor. Now, if that means your other passion in life is poker and you can be as serious about poker as you are about being a doctor, then who are we to say no? But there is a special type of person who can go to med school. That means you're already smart. And if you really are crushing games, I mean, we don't know the details of the games, obviously, if it's underground, online, or what.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a decision for Jake
Tour. I also know a guy that was a really he's a very strong poker player that played on the side and he was going to med school at the time and now he's a doctor. Everyone's different. That doesn't mean it's applicable to this person, but you know,
I would just assume him asking this question means that he doesn't want to be a doctor.
Yeah, right. I mean, there could be some something else going on there.
Yeah, I don't like Maria Ho was telling us like her parents still like ask when she's going to go back to med school, and she's been a professional poker player for like 20 years. She was on the Amazing Race. She's done all sorts of shit, and it's just like
fully cemented. And
a lot of times, your family expects you to do one thing, but you know what? Your family doesn't live your life. You have to live your life, and if you want to. It's really hard to say drop out of med school because I'm not you, but I don't know. Do what you want. If poker's your calling, go for it. If med school's your calling, go for it. Maybe finish med school.
Just know that you're not the first person to have these thoughts who regretted them after or regretted pursuing it. I don't know if that's too
I don't
hard.
Know where he's at in med school. I mean, if you, I would venture to say finish med school and then decide. But if you fucking hate med school, then I don't know. Like, I could never do med school.
Yeah.
Like 90-hour weeks?
I could hardly do school.
You didn't do school. You dropped out.
Whoa. Let me see right there.
What? Did you drop out?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Look. And then what?
I'm a college graduate. This diploma behind me looks like the Declaration of Independence. I think it got some water on it.
It looks
something.
Like it says like Phoenix University Online is what it looks like. It says
you got the online part right.
You graduated Penn State online.
Yeah.
Does that give you the same merits as Penn State College?
Yeah, I mean it just says Pennsylvania State University on it.
Oh, okay. Well, congrats on graduating college.
Thanks. Took me 6
minutes. I had a question for you. I submitted it to Cracking Aces on Instagram. Do you ever?
You did?
No, I didn't actually submit it. I was God. It's just where I'm reading the questions.
I feel like I'm being incepted there.
Do you ever think that you're missing out on anything by not having a job where you interact with other people and you have to solve problems or build something or accomplish a goal in a work way, like at either a startup or something? Do you ever wonder, like, hey, maybe I'll go try to work for a couple of years?
No, I mean, I don't, at this point, I don't really think that, I mean, frankly, it'd be really difficult for me to, you know, get in on a ground floor of a startup or anything, as I don't really have any qualifications.
You have a poker graph that goes straight up. So some people, like, DraftKings people would appreciate. Not that there are
fields and careers that would give a poker player a chance. I mean, I've run into a lot of it is finance stuff, but I've run into a bunch of like finance and hedge fund stuff, and I've run into a bunch of people who are, you know, higher up in that industry, and they've shown interest in. You know, they're not like recruiting me, but they'd be like, listen, if you know, you ever need, are interested in this, like give me a call and stuff like that. But I think that all the time. It's not poker for me is you know, I like it. I don't love it. I love the freedom that it gives me. That's what I really play for. Some people love it.
It's hard to love.
I don't love it.
No, it's almost impossible for you to still love it because you've been doing it all day, every day for your entire adult life.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, I don't hate it. It's there's parts of it that I enjoy. There's parts of it that I don't enjoy. And I do. I sometimes wish that I did something that gave me a little bit more fulfillment. But there's so few jobs that actually do that.
When are you opening?
Like, they break down so many jobs that people are really good at. That's like that are like meaningless, you know?
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's 98% of jobs.
Right, but that doesn't mean they're not really good at their job. That doesn't mean.
Yeah.
I don't know that people aren't fulfilled or satisfied with their own lives and jobs. There's a lot of times where I'm thinking, how can I give back in a different way that I have to like actually create, because what I do doesn't really, I'm winning money from, you know, I'm winning in a game, and it's really cool to be able to play a game for a living. I do see it as, not my duty, but I feel some responsibility to, you know, give back in different ways.
I mean, I don't even give a fuck about giving back. It's more like just giving back to yourself.
I just mean like giving back in ways that like, in things that like mean a lot to me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not even thinking about other people.
Yeah. Like, but
I'm going to say it again though, Jake. Cool beans.
I know, man. Cool beans.
Sorry. Whoa. Sorry. Beans.
Cool beans. Yeah. With a K and C.
Cool beans.
I think I'm off the K on cool beans. I'm back on the C and sticking with the Z and beans.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
The K and the Z felt like a little too corny, but you know what? There was this retail space that was open like two blocks from our new apartment.
Come on.
It would have been perfect. No, it's gone though.
That's the sign you've been waiting for.
But it's the disheartening thing is that it's going to become a coffee shop.
No way.
Yeah.
Would you have seriously looked into it?
No.
Come on, man.
I will say, like, it's not even like a restaurant business. I wouldn't be, you know, if I just opened a coffee shop, I'd have to hire somebody that knew how to run a coffee shop.
No, you learn everything. Like, you learn everything from the ground up. But it's like Hack and D-Dang, like what they did with their, like, you just start from the ground up and you just learn everything about the restaurant business or the coffee shop business.
Yeah. Just
about like, all the different.
I would plan on just like outsourcing from a bakery. I wouldn't even like bother with baking.
Oh, yeah. Most coffee shops do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And just have like a couple things and mostly just sell coffee. And it's got a great name. People would love it.
The cool beans of the week, where you have a different bean of the week.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Man, I want you to fulfill your destiny as the owner and proprietor of Cool Beans.
As a barista?
Yeah,
I know you used to be a barista. Maybe you can come work for me.
I would say I'll throw on the smock for old time's sake.
Listen, I'll treat you better than Gregory's did.
Fuck Gregory Coffee. They like furloughed every employee or something. Fuck that guy, scumbag. Yeah.
But I guess to answer your question, to circle back around.
Cool Beans and chicken fingers.
No, we're off the chicken fingers.
We're off the chicken fingers?
Yeah.
Damn.
No, we looked at the data. It's the chicken fingers need to be a separate entity.
Mm. I was just trying to get something for the kids. With a Z. Kids. Was there anything else that happened? Hey, how come you haven't played a tournament in forever?
I have no interest. I'm done with them. Remember I said I was done in, end of July? I meant it. Yeah, they actually had a pretty sick 1K on, it was a WPT that was streamed with hole cards. I got like 80K for first in New Jersey.
Jump back in.
Yeah, I was away. I wasn't even back in time to late reg, but
I need money on ACR so I can play. Cracking Aces with two A's is my name on ACR for anybody asking.
Yeah, you should open up your Venmo.
Barstool Nate on Venmo for anybody asking. I need to start studying more.
Studying more or studying period?
Yeah, at all. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I haven't, since I've been back, I mean, it's great because I've been doing well, but I haven't been able to play on my new desktop. I've been playing on my Surface Pro. Did I already say this? I think I did.
No.
But it hasn't gotten any better where I keep getting geolocated on my desktop.
Oh, shit.
And it's just not like, I can log in now and for about 10 minutes, it'll work and then it'll boot me from every site.
That is...
But it works on my laptop.
So can you hook your laptop up to your monitor?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean...
It's what a waste of a computer.
It's still pretty brutal, yeah, not being able to use this beast.
Fuck, that sucks.
I know. So I'm like, I've basically just been waiting, but I need to like talk to somebody about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's episode 78. If you liked it, tell a friend. Hit 5 stars on iTunes. Download every other episode because they're all great. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Cracking Aces with two A's. Jake, you got anything?
That's it, man. Everyone, have a great rest of your week. And we'll be back here next Thursday.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks, guys.
23rd. 17 days till my birthday.
Sweet. Oh, today's Orson's birthday.
Oh, Young?
Yeah, we're getting sushi in the city.
You're coming here?
Yeah. I realized I haven't been to New York in forever.
Since the day I had the flu.
No, I came in May.
You picked me up the day we went hiking.
Oh, I also came into your apartment and we went on the roof.
When was that though? April?
No, that was like July.
July.
Yeah, so I haven't been in since then.
God. It is weird. Like things feel so much back to normal. I go into the office a couple times a day. And then you like look at the actual like nationwide numbers and they're so uncomforting, but nobody actually really cares.
No. Nobody cares.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Well, we wear masks at least. We do. I don't know what they're doing in still in California. California is still a mess, but.
Well, it's like on fire too.
Yeah. What a disaster.
Yeah. Hi, Mills. The dogs just came in here. Hi.
All right.
I'll text you later.
Have fun. Be safe.
Yeah.
Bye.